Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 through 9 says something interesting. It says, "But there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them, and a son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor and put everything," underline it, "under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who made himself a little lower than the angels for a little while when he was a man, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he may taste death for everyone." Someone say amen. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, and I want to make sure you understand one thing and understand it very clearly. If you're going to be a success in life, if you're going to do something great with your life, if you're going to do something remarkable, if you're going to do something impossible, if you want to make your life count, you want to slide into heaven saying, "Ooh, what a ride," you need to listen up. Because out of all the things in your life, whether or God, whatever you need in your life, you need healing, deliverance, you need to raise it up and how you live a little better, it doesn't matter about that. It doesn't matter what you need or what you want. You need to understand that if you ever get smart enough to understand what's inside of you, placed by God, and placed there for you to use in engaging your destiny and your purpose and your potential, it's over. If you ever learn what God has already prepared for you in giving you victory, you will never lose another battle. Someone say amen. In Genesis 1 and 2 and 7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living, breathing being." What that means is that when man, and it was Adam, and Adam at that time, Adam is the personal pronoun for man, and it is the same breath that is in you. It is the same breath in 2 Timothy 3:16 that said God breathed into the Word of God and the Word of God became a divine product. It is the same potential that the Word of God had when God breathed in it. God turns around, lays down a man, a homo sapien, and he breathes into his nostrils the breath of God. The breath of God. The same thing that formed the Word of God is the same thing living in you right now. And you need to understand, when the Bible says that the human spirit is the very breath of God, that relates to your potential. It gives you your conscious self. It gives you your intellect, your self-worth, your passions, your creativity, the ability to comprehend and understand. In other words, if you ever realize that there is a spirit living in you and you wake that spirit up through salvation, there is an abundance of ability that you will have that other people around you will not have. When you give God your fullness and you say you want to be a track person, you want to run the track, I guarantee you that if God gets in your life and God is there and God is first in your life, he will give you the ability that will absolutely amaze your enemy, because the day your human spirit connects again with the Spirit of God, the pneuma, the Holy Spirit, it is over. It's over, because you got power and you got ability that other people don't have. Are you mean to tell me you think that if I become a Christian, I got ability that people don't have that are not Christian? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Exactly. And so you have to realize that when the Holy Spirit is in you, he gives you the ability to comprehend, for comprehension and to understand. Job chapter 32 verse 8 said, "But it is the spirit in the person, the very breath of the Almighty, that gives a person the ability to understand." Don't you let anybody tell you can't do it. Don't you let anybody tell you you're not good enough. Don't you let anybody tell you you you're not smart enough. Don't you let yourself tell you that you cannot do calculus. Don't you let yourself tell you that you're not pretty enough for the husband you're dreaming of. Don't you let anybody tell you you're not smart enough to own your business, your own business. Don't you let anybody tell you you're not good enough. Don't you believe the lies of the enemy, because the very breath I'm about to preach and shout right now, the very breath of the Almighty God, according to one of the oldest men in history in the book of Job, said, it's not because old age that I'm wise. I am not wise because I'm old. I am wise because the Almighty God has breathed into my spirit. Somebody shout yes. When the Bible says, young man, young woman, that God has breathed into your spirit, and the reason you're alive is because of the breath of God, number one, you can't show me where you ever breathed into the mouth of an animal. So he said he breathed his breath in the Hebrew, neshama, in the Greek, pneuma. It's the source of life. And if you want to be successful as a graduate, you need to understand something. You'll never be as successful as you can be unless God is center in your life. If you'll put God first in your life, he'll give you the cure for cancer when you pass your medical degree. When you put God first in your life, he'll help you to be more excellent than your neighbor. When you place God first in your life, he'll give you ideas in his presence that a man who runs the same kind of business that you're running will never get, because he doesn't have an insider helping him, comparing him, and infusing his spirit with yours. And so it vitalizes humanity. When you're dead, and I've seen it dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times, your spirit will leave your body and will go back to God. And when it said he breathed into your spirit, graduate, you're here because he, whether you believe it or not, he breathed into your spirit. The breath you're breathing right now is a result of the breath of God in your life. Now, when you repent and ask Christ to be center of your life, you know what happens? There begins to be an infusion. There begins to be an infusion. Now, you got to realize that that spirit was created in the image of God, Genesis 1 and 26, and the fall kind of hurt it a little bit. To the point that God said, when I made man, I made you just a little lower than the angels. But when the Spirit of God, the Holy Pneuma, infuses with the human spirit. You look at the power of the human spirit. I have been in hospital rooms where there's 80-year-old women. They said, you've got less than 60 minutes to die. And I've watched them hang on for 2 days until a daughter walks into the room from Dallas, Texas on a flight. I've seen men who said the doctors have said, you've got 3 months. And because they wanted to live, and because they wanted to live and the will to live. When Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, he said, if you will, it will be done. And there's something amazing about the power of the will of a human being. A will to hang on until your son walks through the room before you take your last breath. A will to live when the doctor said you're going to die. A will to stay alive when they placed you in a concentration camp. A will. Let me tell you something. God gave you a will because that will has the power to submit to him. And if you ever give God your will and there becomes an infusion between the Holy Spirit and your spirit, listen, it will give you more power than an atomic bomb dropping on Hiroshima. There is destiny and power available to you this morning. And when it says breath, pneuma, nemash, it means a strong wind. It means a blast. It means inspiration. It means that somebody put a strong blast of wind inside of you. Ladies and gentlemen, you were created in the image of God. You are to reflect God. You are a spiritual being responsible to God. He expects communion from you. He expects a dependent relationship with you. But do you realize, young man, that when God created you, he stepped back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and said, it's very good. Now, if God says when he looked at you, very good, why are you downing yourself in your abilities? If God himself, who is perfect and knows no sin, looked at you and said, very good, then why don't you believe what God has been saying about you all these years? If the body of Christ ever catches on to the ability you have in this world, I don't need love when I get to heaven. I don't need money when I get to heaven. I don't need forgiveness when I get to heaven. I don't need strength when I get to heaven. I don't need favor when I get to heaven. I'm going to have all of those things simply from the word shalom in the Hebrew. But I'm telling you, I need favor in this world. And young man and young woman, don't you ever think that you don't need favor from a God on high right now in the here, the now, and the nasty. But he said, I will go away, but if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. But if I go away, I will send a spirit that will come out of the tabernacle, out of the temple of Solomon, out of the temple of David, out of the Mosaic tabernacle, and I will dwell with men inside their hearts, and I will take your stony heart and I'll melt it and make it pliable for greatness. There is a difference between God's spirit and man's spirit, and it is God's holy, and God has no limit to the amount of knowledge he has, and he has no limit in the capability of the knowledge he can transmit, and he is infinitely wise. Now, I know a lot of you may be like me. I used to have some friends who knew it all. But what would happen if I had a friend, if you had a friend that knew it all? They knew exactly how to give you the ability to pass that test in college, who knew how to place you with the right professor who would open up your destiny. What would happen to you if you stayed with God after graduation and understood that the fusion, the continued fusion of your spirit and his spirit gives you the ability to do the impossible? What if you stayed in that marriage and infused it with the Holy Ghost? What if you stayed with that job and infused it with the excellence of Jesus Christ? What if you stayed with that idea and that dream God has given you to do something different in Western Kentucky or build a business or do whatever he's called you to do? What if you started partnering with God with your ideas? What if you started partnering with the infusion of the Holy Spirit in your spirit? That spirit that doesn't give up. That spirit that says it can't run 5 miles and that all of a sudden runs 6. That spirit that said I can't lift 200 pounds and ends up lifting 275 pounds. That spirit that doesn't quit. That spirit that says you put me in a concentration camp and I will realize that I still have my own dignity and you can take everything from me, from food to clothing, but I control my attitude. Anybody in here? When the Bible says Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you need to put that in context. He'd been shipwrecked, he'd been beat, he'd been whipped, had his friends betray him, he had people backslide on him and say God isn't God anymore and all kinds of bad things. And in the midst of that, he had places where he went, people took good care of him, he had all the resources he needed, money he needed. And Philippians 4:13 is actually in the same context as the scripture where Paul said, I've learned to be content in all things. So when he says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he's saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you will let me infuse you with my strength, there are no mountains big enough to stop you. There are no obstacles large enough to keep you from greatness. If you ever learn to infuse your spirit with mine and just rely on me and put me first is how you do it. You see, God gives purity, knowledge, and character. And when it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, listen up, Stephen Curran. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It literally means I can do all things through an infusion of strength from Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What's so unique about that is there's the word body and the word temple or singular in the Greek. And there's only two words in the Greek for the concept temple. One of them is the Jerusalem temple. The other one is naos, which is the word for the holy place in the temple. What did you do in a holy place in the tabernacle of Moses or in the temple? It was the place where man met God. And so out of all the places God decided to live, he decided to live in you. And he didn't just decide to live anywhere in you. He could have lived in your shoes. He could have lived in your pocket. He could have lived in your ears. He could have lived anywhere. But he decided to live in your naos, the most holy place, the most intimate place of communion between you and God. Know ye not that your body is the temple, naos, of God, the most holy place of God? You see, according to Genesis 1 and 26, man was lifeless until God performed mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And God breathed into human beings like you. And then all of a sudden, infused your spirit with his. And then in Genesis 1 and 20, he turns around and says, I want you to go subdue the earth. I want you to go get your college degrees. I want you to go do what I've called you to do, and I want you to take my name to the marketplace and represent me in the world that's dying. And one thing I've learned is that as long as Adam and Eve were in the presence of God, they never had a problem with sin. But the moment they got out of the presence of God and they stopped going to church and honoring the Sabbath day and keeping it holy, then they started falling into problems. Their family started falling apart. Their son became a murderer. But Ephesians 3:16 says, strengthened by his spirit in my inward man. Matthew 19:26 says, college graduates, with man this is impossible. I want to encourage you. Do you realize that my school teachers told me in high school that I should never go to college because I wouldn't make it? That's what they told me. I'd like to bring up the fact she was an alcoholic, but I won't. I've been told all my life I couldn't do it intellectually. I couldn't do it. They told me in early on that I had to be in the slow class in first grade. Let me tell you something. You keep God in your life, there's nothing you can't do. Because the truth is, I got better grades in a doctoral program, an earned doctoral program, than I got in a double master's program. I got better grades in a double master's program than I got in a bachelor's program. I got better grades in a bachelor program than I got in a high school diploma. I got better grades in high school than I got in grade school. And in my second PhD, I've got better grades in that than anything I've ever done. You want to know why? Because I have learned that if I can fuse my spirit with God's spirit, there's nothing I can't do. Now, here's my parting advice. Come on up, Jeremy. I want you to understand that you have this electricity, this infusion available to all of you. Those that want to build a business, those that want to win an office, those that want to do whatever you want to do, whatever God's will is for your life, that if you put Christ first in your life, there will be no stopping you. But it's kind of like getting electricity from the power company. The power company comes to your house and generates the power. They turn your power on. But it's not your power, but it's under your control. So I want you to hear me and listen to me carefully. Graduates and anyone that's human. Number one, when life is over, you need to have lived your life where hell knows your name. 7 sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19 were demon-possessed men, and the disciples walked up to them and tried to cast a demon out of them. One of the demons spoke through the man and said, Saul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? Let me suggest that if you ever hear those words, run. And the demons hopped on the disciples because they weren't where they needed to be, and beat the snot out of them, stripped them naked, and they ran off running back to Jesus crying, saying, why couldn't we do what you did? If you don't get anything else right in life, you've got to make sure that you live your life in such a way that hell knows your name. Number two, I want you to understand very clearly that you need to live your life with an eternal purpose. God did not call you to be a medical doctor so you could get rich. Nothing wrong with rich. Nothing wrong with being a medical doctor. The Lord needs more intelligent Christians. Somebody say amen. But intelligence without the Spirit is stupidity. So you got to learn to live your life with eternal purpose and realize that if you're a plumber, you're a plumber to represent Jesus. Doesn't mean you get suckered and you give away your trade for free, but it does mean that every moment of your day as you go about it as a plumber, that you watch for God to open up doors so that your ministry can be your marketplace. Number three, listen to me, graduates. Never underestimate the importance of an attitude. Attitude determines altitude. Life is 10% of what you are and 90% of how you handle it. When you got a bad attitude, you got a bad, bad compass. Because no day is ever going to be sunny enough for you when you got a bad attitude. No material possession is ever going to satisfy you when you got a bad attitude. No boss is ever going to be fair enough to you if you got a bad attitude. No vehicle is ever going to be nice enough if you got a bad attitude. No praise is ever going to be adequate enough if you got a bad attitude. No relationship is ever going to be fulfilling enough if you got a bad attitude. But when you got a great attitude, which Paul said to the church of Philippi, have this attitude in you that is also in Christ Jesus, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to know there's nothing that you can't do. There's no mountain high enough, no obstacle wide enough. No mountain is ever going to be too high. No obstacle is ever going to be too big. No goal is ever going to be too unattainable. No dream is ever going to be impossible. No challenge is ever going to be great enough. No situation is ever going to be hopeless enough if you got an attitude that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And listen to me very carefully. Don't ever underestimate the importance of your beliefs. Number one, John 6:47 says, he that believes will have everlasting life. There's going to be a lot of people, a lot of situations going to try to talk you out of believing that Jesus is God. It's coming. I'm here to help you. Bring it on, baby. That's what I got to say. I'm not afraid of questions because I know the God in whom I serve is real. I know the stars speak to his existence. Cosmology proves his existence. I know that nature proves his existence. I know that he is real for a lot of intellectual reasons. I know the Bible is the word of God because archaeology proves every single, there's not one place in the Bible where the archaeology is proving the Bible to be wrong historically. I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. But the way I know that Jesus Christ is real is because he's living in me, infused in my spirit, leading and guiding me to greatness. God did not call you to die with a needle in your arm. God has not caused you to die with bottles all over your living room with you drunk in your own vomit. God has called you to soar like the eagles. He has called you to success. God has called you to victory. God had called you for a mini pammy marriage. He called you to be the example of marriage. There is greatness in you because God is great. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for everything. Because your beliefs are your core values. And at the end of the day, the methods of the great awakenings, first and second, of coming down, crying, and responding to an altar call, that's good. That's a method. God uses it still today. But you're saved because of what you believe. He said, those that believe will have everlasting life. Believe what? That Jesus is the only way to God. That Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that, give God a shout of praise in this place. That's how important your beliefs are. Don't underestimate, number five, the power of your choice. Be wise about your friends, about choosing your habits, about your career paths and the mates you choose. Marry only within your belief system, and that does include being baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And God says in James 1:5, if you lack wisdom and you don't know what to do, God says, spend some time with me. I'll tell you. Graduates, honey, darling, son, this isn't goodbye. Only a fool graduates from church. But the ABCs, your attitudes, your beliefs, and your choices are the three ABCs of success. But you know what I want you to do? And I'm serious. I want you to go home and I want you to write yourself a letter this week. Every one of you. And I want you, if you're in your 20s, 18, 17, I want you to write yourself a letter to you when you're 55. I want you to put it on paper and say, when I'm 55, I'm talking to my 55-year-old self. You can start out by saying, hey, Colton, I hope that you've achieved all of the things I put in your heart, that God's put in your heart. I hope you still love God as much as you do today. Oh, I speak it out. Our children are going to continue to serve God. Our children are going to do great exploits. Our children are going to be mathematicians and scientists. And God's going to help our children find a cure for cancer in the medical school. Our kids are going to be better than anybody else's. That's not arrogance. That's scripture. So what I've done is I went and got a little help about advice. Here's what people in their 20s say, I wish I'd known when I was a teenager. Surround yourself with positive people. Learn to do a budget today. Live in the moment. Go and see. People who are 50 will tell people who are 20, don't you take yourself so seriously that you think you can't go and do things. You need to travel in your 20s. You need to go see the world. You need to go see Germany. You need to go see Pergamum. You need to go see Thyatira and Philadelphia. You need to go to Jerusalem. You need to get out and go see. When I was in my 20s, I was so stressed out and took myself so seriously, I passed up so many opportunities. And what I know now is that my mom and dad would have paid for it back then. Can I get a witness? You got to assert yourself. Don't you ever fear failure when you're in your 20s. Stay away from toxic relationships when you're in your 20s. If they're drunk at school and they're not studying, that's the person Satan has assigned to destroy your destiny with. If everyone around you is cursing God and they don't love God, and you feel like you're out of place and you submit to that peer pressure, you're a fool because you've just drank the poison. Don't listen. I know. Let me tell you something about women. Everybody wants to go out with Madonna, but ain't nobody wanting to marry her. If you live your life like that, you'll get something Ajax can't take off. You stay away from toxic relationships. Don't take yourself so seriously. And whatever you do, do what you love. Don't you go major in what your daddy wants you to major in, what your mama wants you to major in. You do what you want to do. Live your dreams and fly, little ego, fly. If you're in your 30s, listen. People who are in their 70s tell you this. They say, you better start saving for retirement because you're going to blink and be 41. You got to start to take care of your health now. You're not always going to have those biceps and those abs. You're not always going to have those things. You got to take care of yourself now. You go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated when you're 30s. You be good to people and represent God to them. Master just a few things. Don't try to be great at 5 things, 9 things, 12 things. Find 2 or 3 things that God has infused you with and learn how to be the best at it. When you're in your 30s, keep on growing, keep on learning, keep on going to school. And don't let it, and here, you need to understand this. This is free. You guys should all pay me like $5 for this one a piece, all right? When you're in your 30s, you need to come to the realization that nobody else knows what they're doing either. Yeah, no, I will not take a check. When you're in your 30s, invest in your families, because when you're in your 70s about to die, I can guarantee you the people at your work are not going to help clean you up. Put your time in your family when you're in your 30s. And be kind to yourself. But what happens when you're in your 40s? It's the rush hour of life, and it's transitional. You need to make sure you understand that when you're in your 40s, you're at the old age of youth. And you need to be preparing for the second act of your life. It ain't over. You're getting ready for your greatest moment, because all of the things and experiences you've got now are about to be released in you in the second half of your life. People who say marriage is 50-50, they're stupid. Marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100%, 100%. When you're in 60s, people who've lived past 60s, they say, listen, there's one thing I want all of you to know. Stuff is just stuff. When you're in 60s, people who are in their 70s look back and they say, let me tell you something. Choose your mate with a brain. Do not choose your mate by your hormones. Those breasts are going to head somewhere and not in the direction you want them to head to. That thing you cherish, man, isn't going to work some days. So you better be choosing your mate based on your brain and not your hormones. How many know I'm telling the truth? All truth is God's truth. When you're in your 70s, people who've lived past 70 said, if I knew it was going to live this long, I would have taken care of myself. People who've lived to their 70s, past 70s, have told people in their 70s, they say, you know what? You need people in their 70s say to those in their 20s, they say, your children are going to grow up too fast. Now, my mother has told me that all my life, and I have to admit that I've ignored it most of the time. Not that I'm putting my children first. I never had any problem with that. But I just didn't think they'd grow up. And just like she said, they're going to grow up fast. My mom says you're going to look down and you're going to be playing with them. You're going to turn around. They're going to be gone. My mom's right. Listen, you gain the whole world and lose your soul. What do you got? But if you gain the whole world and lose your soul and your family, put your family first. Put the Lord Jesus Christ first. Say amen. One of the things you need to know when you're 70 is that a real friend will come to you at 2 a.m. in the morning. All the rest of them are simply referred to as acquaintances. 70-year-olds say, do the job, but live for your family. And that no one ever dies wishing they'd work more. Now, when you are in your, I forgot the 50s. Here's what people who are 50 give advice to everyone else. They say, life isn't fair, but it's good. Life is too short, so don't take any time to hate anyone. Make peace with your past. Over-prepare for everything you do, and then just flow with it. And no matter what disaster comes your way, you need to stop in your 50s and ask yourself, what difference is this going to make in 5 years? Your job won't take care of you when you're sick. Your children will. God loves you not because of what you do. He loves you because of who you are. You're His. He loves you without any strings attached. When you're in 50s, you learn that what really doesn't kill you really did make you better. In your 50s, you realize that your children only get one childhood. And when you're in your 50s, the best is yet to come. But what about people in their 80s? Here's what they say. You can't change anybody. These are real quotes from people in this age group. You can't change anybody but yourself. They say, try new things. They say, when you try something and it doesn't go well, try it again and try it again and try it again and try it again. I love this one. One of them said, appreciate your body, especially on the days it's working right. People in their 80s give advice to all of us, and they say, never lie and keep a firm handshake and look people in the eye. Give people a second chance, but don't you ever give them a third chance. And they say, count your blessings. But what do 90-year-olds say to all of us? Those graduating and those under the age of 90 says, and this is true, I didn't make this up. One 90-year-old woman said, they asked her, how did you make it through life so successfully? And she said, always, honey, keep a boyfriend. She said, if a relationship has got to be a secret, you're in the wrong relationship. She said, you always remain physically active and always do something that makes you feel useful. And always keep relationships close. Well, what do centurions say as we close? They say, don't ever look at the calendar. Just keep on celebrating. 100-year-old people, and I've had a lot of people in my family live to be 100. They said the key to staying young is to keep moving. And I believe that. My grandma, who was just a few days before turning 100, didn't want to live to be 100, and she mowed her own yard when she was 97, and when they stopped letting her mow her own yard, that's when she went down. 100-year-old people said, whatever you do, you want to live a happy life. Don't hurt people. Never compare yourself. Forgive people. And said, most importantly, get a pet. Learn to adapt. Think positively. Never give up on love. Travel while you're young. Live and don't worry. Remain curious. And this is honest to God, one of the things they said, buy a trampoline. There's a 100-year-old woman who bought a trampoline. Good to see you today. Bought a trampoline. I don't know if I'm going to try that when I'm 100, but I hope I can. How many of you have been blessed today? You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Lord loves you. This is your day. God is going to do good things for you. Something good is about to happen to you. That's not hyper faith. That is the Word of God. Where is Fred? There we go. Freddie, come up here. We've got a young man I'm going to pray over. Andrew, won't you come help me pray? And Freddie, you're going into the Marines or the Air Force? Air Force. Okay. And so, how old are you? 17 years old. You know how smart you have to be to go in the Air Force? I celebrate you. I love you. We just want you to know that we're so proud of you. This is Nikki and Tony's son. And we're going to lay hands on him and pray that God will bless him and keep him safe. And that God will give him the favor of God. And then I'm going to bless you and we're done. Father, I thank you that in Jesus' name, divine greatness is upon this young man. I thank you, God, that you're going to put him in places of power and places of prestige for your name and your glory only. I pray, Father, that you teach him while he's young, that when he leans towards you, things open. And when he leans away from you, things close. I pray, God, that the favor of the Lord will rest upon him and that he will pick the right mate that loves you and that is spirit-filled and has the right doctrine. I thank you, God, that no weapon formed against him is going to prosper, that you're going to put a hedge of protection around him, and he's going to do what I did as I got older and realized just how smart my parents really were. I ask, God, that you touch him and you bless him in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. If you're a man, would you lift your hands? I bless you with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you're a woman, lift your hands with these men. I bless you with the blessings of Rachel, Leah, and Rebecca. Now may the Lord face shine upon you. May the glory of the Lord and the favor of the Almighty God go with you. And may your enemies be placed as your footstool. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, you're blessed. Somebody shout out, I'm blessed. I'll see you Wednesday night. God bless you.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.